Let's pray while you're turning. And Father, once again, I thank you for giving such wonderful songs to your people. Songs that remind us of who you are, who we are in Christ, who we are without you, how we got here. Songs that declare that you are worthy, and songs that offer up praise, highly esteeming and valuing you. Lord, just thank you for this gift of music that you've given men to praise you with and to worship you with, Lord, and we thank you for your word. Pray that you would send your Spirit and give help. Lord, give us ears to hear, Lord, what your Spirit is saying to your people. Lord, I just thank you for your Spirit. Thank you that you have come and dwelt with us by your Spirit, that we're not alone. When Christ left, we were not left alone. But you have established your church. You are building your temple. You do dwell amongst your people. And so we have all that we need in Christ. Just thank you again for these reminders. Thank you for these truths, Lord. And help us now as we open your word and we look at this letter to the Corinthians and Paul, just his desire for them to understand who they are and to understand the working of the Spirit in their midst, among them, through them. Help us to understand also and to glory in Christ because of it. Amen. So let's read. Actually, I think I want to just kind of do a little review to bring us up to where we are in chapter 12 concerning spiritual things, spiritual matters that Paul is writing to them about. Reminded them of how when they were pagans, when they were without Christ, they were led astray by mute idols, by gods that couldn't speak, by gods they had to carry. But he doesn't want them to be ignorant of the fact that even though they once were led by such gods, they cannot profess Jesus as Lord any other way than by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit must carry them and enable them to confess Jesus as Lord, and no one that has the Spirit can curse Jesus, can say Jesus is a curse. We saw how no one speaking by the Spirit can do these things, can say Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Lord Jesus or Jesus is Lord apart from the Spirit. Saw that there are many gifts, but only one Spirit, and the Spirit is the one that is being manifest or revealed in the various gifts that he gives. There are a variety of ways that people can serve the Lord, but they're all serving one and the same Lord. And there's many ways that we can do the works of God, but it's the one and the same God that is the one working in each one of us. One Spirit, one Lord, one God. Very much Paul calling on the triune nature of God in order to demonstrate that though there are varieties of gifts, there's a varieties of spiritual outworkings. It is all one and the same God, one Spirit that enables everyone. One and the same Spirit is manifest in many gifts. The emphasis on the variety and the different gifts. But all the different gifts are given for the profit of all, not for the one that has the gift. The spiritual gifts are given to build the church up, not to build up an individual. It's for the functioning of the church, so that the church, as the body of Christ, can function as the body. We talked about how this means that not everyone, because of this, not everyone has the same burdens. Not everyone places the same value on different ministries, different ways of serving, different outreaches. Not everyone is the same, and that's by God's design. That's by His design. And we'll look at why a little bit today. We also saw that gifts are not given as a reward for good service. Gifts are not rewards for obedience. Obviously, because the church in Corinth was misusing. They were not doing very well. They had a lot of failures. I mean, the whole book of 1 Corinthians is just correcting numerous and various things. We looked at that last week, and yet they seem to have an abundance of gifts. They're graces, gracious gifts. Therefore, they're not payment for good action, good deeds, good rewards. They're a part of the indwelling Spirit within us as He is manifest in each member in different ways. We saw that gifts are that it's given by the Spirit as He wills. Let's pick up reading and read through section today. Just beginning in verse 12. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, for we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as He desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and on our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need for it, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. And we'll stop there. I'm not going to get to the last part today. So as we continue on going through this section, which last week I was really emphasizing that it's not about the gifts. Well, this week we're going to look at one of the things that it is about, and that's the body. That's the emphasis in this. Gifts were being misused, not used correctly, which was a detriment to the body. The body, the church, was suffering for it, and Paul is seeking to make corrections so that the body will start functioning rightly in a healthy way, building itself up rather than tearing itself down. We looked a lot at how he begins with the Spirit, just repeated over and over. It's one spirit. Yes, there's many gifts, but it's one Spirit. There's a lot of members, but it's one Spirit. Now the emphasis is, yeah, there's a lot of members, but it's one body. It's one and the same God establishing the body, building the body. It's one body. It's not fractured. It's not members. It's one body. That's the emphasis in this section here. And this is where we have 35 references to member in verses 11 through 27. If you count not just the words member, but the words associated with member, like eye, ear, hand, foot, at least 35 times here he's talking about members, and 18 times the word body is used. And the reference to the members is not to stress the members, but to stress the body. You're thinking, oh, well, he mentions members more. It's all about the members. No, it's all about the body. All the references to the members are to say it's not about the members in this case, but it's about the body. So we'll pick it up where we left off in verse 12. Even as the body is one Lord, one Spirit, one God, one body. Even though the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. The body is composed of many different parts, and all these parts are different from each other. It's in this way, because the body is made up of different parts, it's in this way the body is composed, different members from each other. It's in this way Christ is seen. Christ is displayed. What body is he talking about? The body of Christ. He's talking about the church, specifically the local church. He's not really talking about the universal church. When someone is saved, what church are they made a part of? The body of Christ universally. The saints from all time universally. But the vast majority of references to the body and to the church in Scripture is what is seen and experienced by those that are a part of the local body. The emphasis in Scripture is not the church universal. It's the church local. And that's his emphasis here, dealing with the church at Corinth, dealing with the body here. One body composed of many members, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one and the same Spirit. It literally says, in one Spirit we were all baptized. What I want us to notice here in verse 13, everything that takes place here is passive. Everything that takes place here, in other words, we're not the one doing it. It's the Spirit. We're in the Spirit, in union with the Spirit, when we're baptized into one body. Again, passively, we're not baptizing ourselves into the body. Think of it this way. You don't so much join a church as the Spirit joins you to the church. Who builds the body? God does. Who builds the church? Christ does. The emphasis is always on Him. We tend to want to emphasize, oh, well, I join it. I make myself a member. I do these things. And yes, there is certainly an active part that we must play to be a member. But there is also the element that it is the Spirit's work that makes us members. And that's the only way we're able to function, is because of God working in and through us, because of the enabling of the Spirit, because of Him baptizing us into the body, into the church. All the different parts, Jews, Greeks, slaves, free, competing parts. Those that were enemies outside the body, when the Spirit baptizes a person, places a person in the church, they go from opposition to one another, enmity with one another, to loving each other, to brothers, to family, brothers, sisters in Christ, and all made to drink of one Spirit. Made to drink of one and the same Spirit. Again, all of this is completely passive. He's not saying be filled with the Spirit here. He's talking about the receiving of the Spirit. We're made to drink of one Spirit. What's the picture he's drawing here? When you get thirsty and you go and you gotta get a nice glass of cold water and you drink it, is your mouth the only thing refreshed by it? No, the whole body is refreshed by it. As a matter of fact, every single member, every organ of your body, every cell in your body is nourished and strengthened and refreshed by drinking that glass of water. We're mostly water. Well, as members of the body of Christ, as members of the church, there's one Spirit, and we've all been made to drink of that Spirit that inhabits the temple of God. And because the Spirit inhabits the temple of God, remember chapter 3, chapter 6, don't you know that you're the member, you're the temple of Christ? Your bodies are the temple of Christ. The Spirit inhabiting us is for the benefit and for the profit of all. And it's demonstrated by different gifts, variety of gifts that different people have, which is all evidence that we have all drunk from the same Spirit. We are all inhabited by the same Spirit of God, all made to drink of it. For the body is not one member, but many. Mentioned it last week as well. The body is not one member, but many. It is many members. But he's not talking about conformity here among the members. As a matter of fact, that's one of the things that he's explaining, why there's not conformity to each other. We're not all the same. It's talking about unity with each other, though. Many members, one body. But it's in this way, through many members with various gifts, that the body is conformed to conformity. The body is conformed to the image of Christ, as no one member alone can fully manifest the perfection which is Christ. In Ephesians, keep a finger there, turn over to Ephesians. Ephesians actually has quite a bit to say about the body, about members, and even about gifts. In chapter 1, verse 22, speaking of Christ, he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him head over all things to the church, which is his body. What is the body? The fullness of him who fills all in all. In other words, you, Christian, are not the fullness of Christ, but the church is the fullness of Christ. One in the same Spirit, giving many gifts to the body. And again, if you remember, don't make hard distinctions between the members and the gifts, because it's the Spirit being manifest through each member that the gifts are. That's where the gifts are found. This is where Christ is seen. Yes, you individually, I think there is a way you can say, I was actually thinking about preaching on this and diverting from here, that you individually are the light of the world. You have the light of Christ in you. But that's not really what Jesus was getting after, I don't think. The church is the city set on the hill. You all are Christ, meaning representatives of Christ. He is the light of the world. As long as he here is, he said, as long as I'm here, I am the light of the world. He's no longer here. But he didn't leave us alone. He gave us the Spirit. And therefore, we are the light of the world since he is gone. But it's what? What light are we? We're Christ. The church manifests Christ to the world and to each other. There's many places I've changed. I want to stay in Ephesians just for a second. There's many places in Ephesians that we see this. Look in chapter 2. This is talking about how Gentiles are made partakers of God's elect, of his chosen people, Israel. Look at verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that he himself might make the two, Jew and Gentile, into one man, thus establishing peace. Peace between those that were enemies. This is not the peace of God that comes from God, us with him. This is peace between Jews and Gentiles. This would be peace between Israel and Palestinians. This would be peace between North Korea and South Korea. It would be peace between blacks and whites, between rich and poor. Whatever else, wherever else there is enmity in the world, in Christ, there is peace between them because he joins them together in one body, in one new man. Verse 16. So he makes the two one man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who are near. And through him, we both, Jew and Gentiles, have our access in one Spirit to the Father. No longer is it the God of the Amorites, God of the Canaanites, gods of the Romans, gods of this, gods of the Jews. He brings all these different people together in one and the same Spirit, because one and the same Spirit, the Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ, indwells sinners that have been birthed into the kingdom and are now saints, and therefore they're now one. different members making up one body. In chapter 3, verse 6, to be specific, Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. And down at the end of the chapter, verse 17, so that Christ would dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to the fullness of God. How? By being made one together with the people of God. This is where the fullness is. We're so focused. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. We get so individually focused. That's not the focus of Christ. Yes, the church is made up of many members. Yes, there is an individual element to it. No, you can't get in on my faith. I can't get in on your faith. You must be joined to Christ as personally a member individually. But you're then joined to the body. You have to come in alone, personally, but it's not to remain alone. It's to be made part of the body. And this happens by the work of the Spirit. There is something mortally wrong with someone that claims to be a Christian, but wants nothing to do with the body. I don't see how someone like that. I'm not talking about for a period of time. I'm not talking about someone that backslides. I'm talking about someone that they claim they have an encounter with Christ, but don't want to have an encounter with the church. Something's wrong with that picture. It's like going and buying a, well, that's probably a bad analogy. I was going to say it's like going down to the, you know, athletic club and buying a membership, but then never going to the club, except people do that. But that's not the intention. That's not what you're in for. It makes no sense, does it? It's like, well, it's being born. It is being born into a family and then running away from your family automatically, claiming how much you love the family. The church is the body of Christ. This is where Christ is seen. It's where we see Christ in one another. There's no way. I'll just take what Jesus said to the goats, to those put on the other side, separated. And he said, throw them into outer darkness. Why? Because as much as you did not do it to the least of these, my brethren, you did not do it to me. And if a person isn't a part of the body, they have nothing to do with Christ. Again, I'm not talking about backsliding. I feel like I've got to emphasize that. We sin, we stumble, we fall. But the pattern, that's why I was thinking about preaching on you are the light of the world. Because that's true of every Christian, and it's true of every church. It's not be a light, it's you are a light. You are the light of the world. Well, church, you are the body of Christ. The body is not one member, but many. And because of this, verse 15, back in 1 Corinthians 12:15, if the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? So he's talking here about the believers. Well, I can't do this, therefore I'm just not a part of it. I'm not needed. I don't have this gift. I can't do this. I can't do that. Therefore, I'm just not a part of the church. That does not come from the Spirit. That comes from the flesh. Comes from the enemy. It doesn't come from Christ. It does not come from the Spirit at all. This is what Paul's correcting. There were probably those, I would imagine, those that had got left out of the Lord's Supper because everyone else ate what was there before they were able to get there, and they went home hungry. I imagine they felt like, I'm not part of the body. And what a shame, because it was the body. It was other members of the body making them feel that way because they were being neglected. But here he is addressing those that are saying this. I think we should think about, well, I don't have this gift, so I'm just not a part of the body. I'm not going to serve in that area because I don't have that gift. Remember, last week I said, honestly, I don't think you're handicapped at all. You may have an advantage if you don't know what your spiritual gift is. Because if you don't know, you're free to serve anywhere that you see a need that you can fulfill it. And there's nothing going, oh, don't do that. You're not one of those people. You're not one of those members of the church. What do you contribute to the body? Because you do contribute something. If you're a member of the body, no matter how weak, no matter how small, no matter how insignificant you may think you are, as we're about to see, you are a vital part of the body. Because someone says, well, I'm not able to do this. I'm not that. And again, it's not so important, well, what does the hand do? What does the foot do? What does the eye or the ears do? They represent different functions of the body, different abilities that the body has to do different things. Hands grab things. Feet carry you somewhere. Ears hear. Noses smell. Eyes see. Well, where would the body be if I said, well, I want to be the hand because I'm not that, I'm checking out. I'm not going to be a member. That's what he's getting at. We each have a function to play that contributes to the body. Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? Church, I really believe that there will be differences between different churches, just like within a church, there's going to be different. But I tell you what, there should be no church that is all about evangelism. That is not a healthy church. There is not a church that should be all about preaching. That's not a healthy church. There's not a church that should be all about some ministry to the poor or something. That's not a healthy church. Where's the rest of the functioning? You may say, oh, well, that's where the universal comes into play. Not here it doesn't. Not in 1 Corinthians. Not in this passage. He's not talking about that. He's talking about the church at Corinth and the gifts that they have. And as we're going to see, there were some gifts that they saw as being better gifts, more important gifts, when in fact they really weren't. They put a very high value on tongues. There was one problem with that. Tongues did nothing for the body. Tongues didn't build up the body. But like today in some churches, that's what it's all about. As a matter of fact, there are those, and it's heresy, but there are those that would say, well, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not even a Christian. Or there's others that think, oh, you don't speak in tongues, well, you're just a weak, pitiful Christian. Yeah, you may sneak in, but you're going to be in the slums in heaven because you don't speak in tongues. It still exists today. It will exist till Christ returns. There is nothing new under the sun. Knowledge. We already looked at that. They put a big emphasis on knowledge. There are people gifted to teach. Not everyone. A church that is all about teaching is not a healthy church. A church that is about any one thing, no matter how good and glorious that one thing is, if a church is about that, it's not functioning as a body. Where's the hearing? Where's the hands? Where's the smelling? If the whole body were an eye, 17, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? Verse 18, but now God has placed the members, each one of them in the body, just as he desires. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. This is God's doing. It's his design. I was thinking about as we were singing, what song was it? Birds and flowers and joyful, joyful. Yeah, I was thinking about that. And then as we're reading Genesis and scripture reading, thinking about creation. Man, look at creation. Can you imagine if there was nothing in the world, no living thing in the world other than people? Let's go to the top here, the climax of this creation. Can you imagine if there was nothing but people? No birds, no dogs, no cats, no one would miss them. No nature. No bees, no butterflies, whatever. There was only people. What would that be like? Why are there so many differences in creation? So many differences in the body. It's God's doing. It's his design for his glory, for his honor. God has placed the members, each one in the body, just as he desired. It's his will. Whatever he wants is good. This is one of the glorious things in this. The Spirit, the gifts manifest God. The diversity manifests God. It puts him on display. That's what they're meant to do. To build up the body. What is the body? The body is the body of Christ. It's meant to glorify Christ, the diversity that exists, the different gifts that exist. It's God's doing. And it's done by his design. God is the one who has determined what your gift is. Don't murmur and complain. Don't be discontent, men. God is the one that has so given you what you need to contribute to the body. Your strengths and your weaknesses. Your weaknesses are a gift to the body. The fact that you lack in something is a gift to the body, and it glorifies God. Your lack of ability, your lack of a gift. How? Because it makes the body necessary, the body of Christ. It puts him on display. It glorifies him. We need each other because the fullness of Christ is put on display in the body, not in the member. So even in that, he's done that so that you can't claim you're not needed. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body. He's done it so you can't claim that. As well as you can't claim what's coming next, you don't need someone else. Verse 21, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. There's no room for claiming that we don't need each other. There's no room for you as a member of the body to think you're not needed. There's certainly no room for anyone in the body to think someone else isn't needed in the body. We need to see one another the way Christ sees us. Are you lacking something? That's by God's design. It's His design for the good of the body, which works out being for your good because it makes you dependent. Count it joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials. Why in the world would we do that? Because it's working something good in us. Difficult circumstances are working something good and something needed that are in us. So it is with the different members in the body. But it's one body. And therefore the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In verses 22 through 26, some ways it's a difficult passage. I don't think I'm going to spend a lot of time going through it. Let's go through it quickly, and then I want to kind of abbreviate it and sum it up. So on the contrary, verse 22, to one member saying it has no need of the other. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker. What are some of these members that seem to be weaker? Well, those that do things behind the scenes, those that you may not even realize they do anything. Some that their gift would be service, helping. You know, I can't do anything, but yeah, I mean, I can wipe tables down. I can do that. Well, man, compare that with prophecy. That doesn't look like much. Compare that with tongues. Compare that with miracles. Compare that with healing people. That doesn't look like much. Hospitality. Man, you compare that with some of these flashy things, casting out demons, great faith. Look at George Mueller. Verse 22, on the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker. Yeah, it's there in the Greek, and it means seems to be, has an appearance of being. Not that it is. It seems weaker. What are they? They're necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable. Some people, it's quite common in commentaries, they liken this part here in particular to the human body and, you know, probably the sexual organs of the body. It's not the presentable parts. And so we honor them by covering them up. How do you present them when they're covered up? I'm not convinced that's what he's dealing with here. Is it possible? Yeah, it can be. But I think the idea is what is honored, which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable. How often do... Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked. This reminds me of what he said back in the beginning of the letter. Not many wise, not many rich, not many noble have been called. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and those which are not to bring about that which is. God has composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. This is one of the things they're failing to do. We saw that just explicitly in the Lord's Supper. You see that in lawsuits. He said it's better to be just mistreated than to take your brother to court. It's better to just let them take advantage of you than to do that. This is how it should be. It's not necessarily how it was in Corinth. It wasn't that way. There were some of the lesser gifts that were esteemed more highly than other gifts. There were certain people that were esteemed less important, not bestowed honor. If the president's coming to dinner and he's an hour late, you wait for him before you eat. Why? Because of the honor bestowed on them, on him. Right? They were failing to do that, failing to honor each other. So you have more important, again, this is playing out in the section about gifts, about things given by the Spirit. The Spirit's enabling and gifting certain people in different areas. And you have weaker parts, more presentable parts, less presentable, those of greater honor, less honor. And as we'll see, as we get into especially 14, it appears the Corinthians highly valued, highly honored those that spoke in tongues. Way out of proportion to it. As a matter of fact, Paul tells them, you need to stop speaking in tongues in the church unless you can interpret. Because if you don't interpret it, the only one being edified is you. And that's not what the church coming together is about. So he says, do that at home. Just like he told them, look, you're hungry, you're starving, we'll eat at home first. You speak in tongues, you can't interpret, do it at home. Think about this. And think about the obvious things, okay? Think about the obvious answer. What parts of a car are the most important parts? Car can't function without it. A motor, it's not going to go anywhere without tires, right? Got to have a gas tank. Got to have gas in it. What about the drain plug in the bottom of the oil pan? I know some people are going, the what? What's that? What about the fuel line that's hidden, runs along the bottom of the car, tucked up inside, a lot of times tucked in the frame, and you can't even see it, and they hide it coming up into the motor? How important is the fuel line? What about a little fuse tucked up, hidden away up under in the dash that some of you don't even know is there? Don't even know cars have fuses. How important is little 10 amp fuse? Could be very important. Your car may not start without it. What about a lug nut? Take the lug nuts off of a tire. What if just one bearing is missing in the crankshaft, in the camshaft, in an axle? One little bearing. That's what Paul's talking about. Oh yeah, what's important? Well, you got to have a steering wheel, you got to have a motor, you got to have an engine, you got to have a transmission. You can't go anywhere without tires. And yeah, but there's all kinds of parts hidden in a car that are secret that no one sees and a lot of people don't even know about. And a little something that costs about a dollar can completely immobilize your car if it's not there. That's how we should view every member of the body. No one is dispensable. No one can be done away with, and we don't need you. No one. No matter how much honor may seem to be bestowed. As a matter of fact, that's why when going through and preaching through things like this, oftentimes preachers point out, honor those things that often get overlooked. Being an ear, are you a good listener? Not many people are going to see that. Individuals will, those that you're talking to and know you're a good listener. But no one walks up to the front of the church. No one comes up to the front of the church and goes, okay, talk to me. I'm here. No, this is a place of talking, right? But those of you that have gone to people to talk to that are good listeners, you know how indispensable they are and how much more honor you have for them after you talk with them. It's about the body. Now you are Christ's body. I'm going to back up to 26. Actually, 25. God has made the body in this way so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. We can't neglect one another. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. That's actually the harder part, I think. Seeing someone else being praised, seeing someone else exalted. Just think about it at work. When the guy, you show up early all the time, you work hard, you don't take long breaks and all that, and the slacker gets the promotion. Well, it's the same way in the church. When things like that happen in the church and things like that happen in the church, do you rejoice with them? The one that is honored, the one that is esteemed. Having the same care. If one suffers, everyone suffers. The body is suffering. When one member suffers, the body hurts. And when a member is honored, the body rejoices. All the members rejoice. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. Members of Christ because you're a member of the church. Some people are good with kids. Others, not so much. Some people are social butterflies. Some people are socially awkward. Some, only a few, are highly intelligent. Most of us are average at best. A few are rich. Some are poor. Most are probably just average. Some are zealous. Man, some people are excited. They're like, you know, you just can't slow them down. And other people are like zombies. It's like they just seem to be flat. It's like they're there, but... Some are bold. Others are timid. Some speak well. Others can't hardly put a sentence together. Some are strong. Some are weak. Some have strong faith. Some people don't seem to worry about anything. Why? They're trusting the Lord. The Lord's in control. Some people seem to be. Some people seem to be. But inside are full of anxiety and worry. But others have weak faith. Some, a few, can teach. Others need to be taught. But all of these, all of us, all the members, are all members of Christ. And therefore, members of each other. In this way, we recognize God has designed the body in this way. And we're to have the same care for everyone. There are some that are more visible than others. But our how we think about each other should not. The gifts and the abilities that others have should not affect how much we honor them or esteem them, how we think about them. We really should esteem weaker ones with high honor. You don't take away from others. You give to those which seem to have less. In other words, church, we are members of Christ. One body. God has designed the differences that exist for the health of the body, for the well-being of the body, for the benefit of the body, for the benefit of the different members of the body, for the glory of God, that Christ would be exalted. It's God's doing. And I don't know if we'll get to it next time or not. It'll be a couple weeks. But there's a more excellent way than being about the gifts. There's a more excellent way than that. There are greater gifts. But there is no one greater. The head is the great one. Christ is the one that is great. There are greater gifts. Verse 24 says, God has composed the body, giving more abundant honor to the member which lacked. I can't tell you, and you probably know this too, how many preachers do you know of that said, yeah, before the Lord saved me, I was a social butterfly. I love talking in front of people. I love being the center of attention. How many preachers do you know that have that as part of their testimony? I can't think of a single one. I'm not saying they're not there. You know what's really prevalent, and I'm sure you know this, it's usually social introverts, socially awkward, introverted people, people that don't want to be in front of people talking, that God makes teachers and preachers and evangelists. I'm assuming that, like, at least most of y'all know this. You've heard people talk. John Piper. He said when the first time he had to get up in front of his, I think it was his seminary class was the first time he talked, or maybe his high, I don't know. It was in one school that he was going to. He couldn't even get words out. He was so terrified to speak in front of people. I think he didn't. I think he like mumbled something and went and sat down. I don't know. It's part of his testimony. We all have different strengths and different weaknesses, and it's all God's doing, We individually have that. And the reason that we have that is so that the body won't be lacking. It's so that the body won't lack. We're going to pray and sing one more song, and then we'll be dismissed. Or we won't be dismissed, then we'll eat. Father, we just thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your wisdom. Just thinking so often about what Paul says after going through most of Romans, and says that God has consigned all under sin so that he might mercy all. Oh, the depth of the wisdom of the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are your ways. Lord, this fits so much into this that we're talking about, the body. How you give different gifts to different people. A lot of times it doesn't make sense. It's not how we would do it. But it's how you have done it, because you know what is best. And you've done it in a way that you are glorified. And Lord, help us to reflect that more and more. Pray that you would give gifts even more to this church, Lord, that you would give greater gifts, Lord, that we would desire greater gifts, gifts that build up, that we would pray, Lord, give me gifts that the church would be built up, that I would not be, but that the church would. Father, we just thank you once again for sending your Son in humility, in weakness, that turned out for exaltation and glory. How our view of you would be different if you had not sent your Son, if he had not came and died for us. We would know nothing of your love. We would know nothing of your grace, of your mercy. But we thank you for making it known. Thank you for Christ. Help us to represent him well. Amen.